Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned in to the finest gospel station on the internet, the Love Lift Me Up Show. Hallelujah. Giving Jesus all the praise. Featuring gospel artists, authors, teachers, writers, actresses, actors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the host of the show, Dr. Elfrida Love, and the star of the show, the one and only Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Love Live Jesus Ministry, where Jesus shines with love. I am your host this evening, Elfrida Love, and this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. On today, we have a very, very special guest that we're so excited about. But first, let us pray. Then we're going to read Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9, and I'm going to introduce our guest. And then after we introduce our guest, we're going to start with the interview. So thank you so much for tuning in to the Love Live Jesus Ministry. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for blessing us as we were able to wake up this morning, Lord. You started us on our way, Heavenly Father. We ask with this segment with Miss Marcia be a segment that you're pleased with, Lord, and we ask that you give her the power and the strength, Heavenly Father, to go about your business, Lord, as she just continue to inspire and motivate people from all over the world. Lord, we ask would you bless the listeners, would you bless those who are going to listen, Lord, and would you just help us to become better for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Okay. I'm going to read Psalm 136, Numbers 1 through great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. I have read to you Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, the doers, and the seekers of his holy word. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the moment you have been waiting for, I would like to introduce to you an inspirational speaker for 20 years, a speaker who has spoken at retreats and conferences. She's DJed on Christian radio, and most of all, she's actively involved in prison ministry. She's a businesswoman by profession, and she has been for 20 years. She runs her family business with her husband, Mike, in Pennsylvania, and she's the mother of two precious children and five grandsons. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce to some and present to others Miss Marcia Barth. Miss Marcia, are you on the line?
I am, and thank you so much for having me on your show, Elfrida.
Thank you so much. Okay, I'm going to ask you a few questions just concerning some of your gifts and talents. Is that okay?
I appreciate that, sure.
All right, thanks. Now, can you tell me a little bit about how your writing began and what major themes you would like readers to know concerning the material you write?
Well, basically, you know, I think God puts all gifts inside of us, and I don't think that we realize that they are gifts, and I don't even think until he brings them. It's like a seed in the ground until it blooms into a flower. I don't think we really realize that. And for me, I think what awakened me to writing was I wrote my mom a poem when I was about 12 years old. It was the first thing I really ever wrote, and I gave it to her for Mother's Day. And when she read it, she just cried and cried. And I was so surprised that words written in love, the impact they can have on a life. And I think that opened the door. The power of words can change a life.
That's right. That's exactly right. The power of words. That's excellent. Okay. Now, can you talk a little bit about your prison ministry and the individuals who you're able to speak with in the prison walls?
Well, with the prison, I usually go in with a group, but I have went in by myself also. I've went in the prisons here locally for 8 years. I have, when I visit different areas, I try to go into the prisons. It depends on their protocol, but I visited the prison in Kauai, Hawaii this year. I was a guest speaker there, and I also visited the prison in Maui, Hawaii. I was a guest speaker there, but what touches me and has moved my heart so much is that most of the, I speak to the women when I go in, but it just touches my heart so much that everyone deserves a second chance, and a lot of people deserve a first chance. And statistics show that a lot of the people that are in the prisons are broken and shattered. That does not mean I have never, in all of my years of doing prison ministry, I've never once justified anybody being there. They're there, they have an accountability, but it is such a time that you can offer them that thread of hope. And that's what moves my heart. When you go in and you see in their heart, they come in very hard, very like they look at you all cleaned up, and you can almost read their mind like, okay, she's all cleaned up. She's got her life. What is she going to tell me today? And then you start come down to their level, and you get on the same plane with them, and you tell them what happened to you as a child, that your father was alcoholic, that you were sexually abused, and how it impacted your life. And then you start to tell them how you went to a little Sunday school in a little country church and heard about a Jesus that loved you. And somehow it made me matter in a life that I didn't feel I mattered. And when they start seeing that, you begin, right in their eyes, to see that hardness melt away. You begin to see that hope, like, well, if she's cleaned up and can make it, maybe my life could be different. And there is such a joy in reaching people with a hope that maybe they've never, ever even knew existed.
Wow. And Ms. Marsha, I was taking some notes because what you're saying is really what life's about. It's about the ability to deserve a first chance and then giving those individuals a second chance to get it right. Because if you think about it, how many times are we forgiven by God? It's too many to count. And so we have to reciprocate that same love that God gives us by giving other people a chance to start a fresh life.
I feel more sorry for the person who feels that they've never needed a second chance. Because if they've arrived that much, I really do feel sorry. But because none of us have arrived. And to be able to reach people with the love of God and the hope of God, when we deal in such a shattered society and such a brokenness in our society today, to me it's probably been one of the greatest joys. And I cannot thank God enough for the opportunity to be a part of that.
That's right. Now, can you talk about your inspirational speaking and the retreats you have conducted? Basically, what is the format of it, and how do you reach people so that they can change their lives?
Well, they're all different types of formats that I've done with the inspirational speaking, and actually more doors are opening up in different venues all the time. But basically what I deal with, whether I'm speaking in a church or at a seminar that's dealing with just abuse, or whether I usually steer it always to emotional healing. As a society and even as Christians, we deal with the spiritual, we go to church, we read our Bible, we deal with that. If we get sick, we go to the doctor, so we deal with the physical. But we do not deal with the emotional, and we leave God out of that picture too. And so often, we put the issues of our past under the rug. And Christians are the best. They say it's under the blood, when really they've stuck it under the rug. And people say to me, well, how did you deal with it, Marty? And I said, one day God shook my rug. And he said, if I'm God enough to bring you out of your childhood, am I not God enough to heal you from it? It's one thing to come out of things and be a survivor. It's another thing for God to take you on and become a victor. And so that's what I try to bring into my speaking and my retreats, to let people know that you can heal from your past. You can overcome and you can become a victor in it. You do not have to, even as a Christian, carry around this heavy baggage of pain and sorrow that you have buried so deep within yourself. But you have to deal to heal, to feel. And people don't want to deal. But you got to get them to deal with the issues, heal from the issues, and then they can feel again. And then they can do what Paul said. Then put those things behind and press towards the mark. People try to quote that scripture and say, I put all things from behind and I press to the mark. But they don't look at the first part of that chapter when Paul said, but I count all things as loss. He says that early in the chapter. We count the loss and then we deal with that. And then we go through and we press towards the mark and we heal and we overcome. But healing is a journey. And people don't realize that. We live in a microwave generation, and everyone, it's kind of like that magnet on my refrigerator. Lord, I want patience, but I want it right now. That's what people do with healing. They're used to popping a pill, or I want to feel good now. But you take the hand of the one who loves you most, and you can go on a healing journey, and you can not only have it, you don't have to have it buried under the rug of your life. You can give it to God, and you can let him take you through steps. I do it one of my teachings and seminars. I often do the victim to victor study, and it's a sequence of five stages. You go from victim to survivor to overcomer to conqueror and then to victor and then to life. And those are stages, and there's different things you do in those different stages of on this healing journey. And, you know, I hear everyone say they're survivors, and I thought, why would we stop there? Why not become an overcomer? Why not become a conqueror? And why not become a victor? You know, why do we settle? I mean, we can be saved and go through life and get to heaven and carry this baggage with us of pain and sorrow of if whatever we've went through in our life. For me, it was childhood sexual abuse. My grandfather sexually abused me when I was 4. My father started sexually abusing me when I was less than 8 years old, up till I was 14 and able to stop him. It shatters a soul when that happens. But God is more than a Humpty Dumpty God. He doesn't just put us back together. He makes us new creatures. But so often we settle just to have ourselves put back together and have all the broken pieces. And he just wants so much more for us. And my desire is to let people know you can have that.
That is great. Well, I'm listening and I'm taking everything in and listening to your stages. And as you said, many people will stop at the survivor stage. And it's not because they don't want to move forward. It's because they don't know that there are other stages that you have to go through for emotional healing.
Exactly.
And I think, Marcia, the reason why we have so much unrest in this world is because people have not healed emotionally. We're still carrying, as you said, that baggage. We're still in that survivor mode. I survived this. Now I don't know how to overcome it. So I really think that you brought out, I know that you brought out some issues that will bring awareness so that we know that it's more than a survival, you know, a stage. It's more stages than that.
Yes. And the thing is, too, we survive what we went through. And I told this to a friend not too long ago. I was trying to help him, and I said, do you understand we were kids when this happened to us? And maybe you went through domestic abuse, or maybe you've went through physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse. Regardless of what you went through, the problem is we try to survive that. If you're in the ocean, you don't wait for the cruise ship to come by. You don't wait for a lifeboat. You grab hold of a piece of wood or a piece of plastic because you're surviving. But that's fine to survive the initial crisis. But then you go through your life and you run into crises and you're still trying to use the same tools that you survived with to overcome the
right.
obstacles of life. And it's kind of like taking a butter knife and trying to hammer a nail on the wall. A hammer just works so much better. But if no one tells you a hammer exists, you know, you use the same broken tools. And I told this friend of mine, I said, God wants to dump your tool chest. He wants to give you a brand new tool chest. You just need to learn the tools of how to walk through the healing journey. And I says, and you come out with a different way to approach problems, a different way to approach issues. And it's a process, and it's a journey, and there's just so much that could be taught on it. Boy, I don't even know where to begin with you, Alfreda, because there's just so much. And I love to talk to people about it, because that thread of hope just, that it just gets in their heart like, wow, you know, I could have a whole different life. And
right.
and that's the joy, and that's why I write. I tell people it's not to talk about the victimization I went through. It's to talk about the joy of overcoming.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Okay. Wow. And speaking about the joy of overcoming, in your book, The Shattering, can you tell us some experiences that the book illustrates and how you were able to overcome some of those challenges? Just some challenges that stand out to you.
Well, the book itself, the feedback I got has been wonderful. It's written in novel form. A lot of healing books are just written in kind of how-to books, and I will get to that in my next books. I do have a sequel coming out with a lot of requests from the people who've read. But the book that I wrote, it's in novel form. I'm actually Julie in the book, so I have changed my names. The pictures in there are of my family. The stories in there are all true. So you'll start out when you read that. What happens when you read the book, it enables the reader to understand abuse from a child's perspective, because they become that child's friend. They become Julie's friend in the book, and they'll see why she remained quiet, and they'll see how she had that one thread of hope and how it changed her life forever. And it'll take you through the hills of West Virginia, the Southern Appalachians, and it'll touch your hearts forever by the inspiring story. And for example, there's a story in the book where Julie, which is me, is walking up this dirt country road with her brothers, and the book was dedicated to my brothers. We were actually ages was 3, 2, 1, and 0, so we were very close in age. And as we walk up this dirt road, and it's still a dirt road today, our little cocker spaniel walks up with us, and we go to this little country church, and the little doggy sits outside the door until we go in and have our Sunday school lesson. I tell about how God touched my heart in that little Sunday school room, and I begin to think I became important. I knew when I went to that little altar, and I was only like 8 years old, no one would ever change my heart from then on, that there was a God, and this God loved me. Maybe in the church I went to, I wasn't good enough to be Mary in the Christmas play. Maybe in school the teachers couldn't believe that I got A's because they didn't think that the family I come from. I had a teacher make fun of me one time and said, you must have lucked out or studied awful hard, because I wasn't supposed to get a 98 on a test. And you go through all this, and these stories are in the book, but it's in novel form. My husband read the book, and he said, you fall in love with the character. He says, but for me, then I realize it's my wife. And he says, you know, it's not about me. You'll read I wasn't an angel. You know, I had my times where boys didn't know whether to date me or run, because they weren't sure if I would kiss them or beat them up. I was a tomboy. So you'll laugh, but you'll see what changed my life and what gave me the hope to get through the abuse. The abuse almost destroyed me as a child. I thought of committing suicide. It stopped for a little while. My dad had a woman come live with us, but when this woman would get mad at my dad, she would beat on us. So I didn't know what was worse, the physical abuse from her or the sexual abuse from my dad. But through it all, there was this hope in my heart. And somehow God let me know that what had happened to me did not define who I was. And he brought me on out to victory. And then years later, he shook my rug and said, you need to heal, you need to deal, and you need to tell others how to go through the steps too. So that's what I'm doing. And I thank God for the opportunity.
With us, we can't let it go. And so, you know, it just is very, we have to be careful what we say to people because we don't know the storms that, you know, they've gone through or the storms that they're going through. And then,
no, we don't.
Right. And then the second thing is when you spoke about your book, and as far as, I kind of lost my train of thought because I was so into what you were saying. But just listening to how you was able to find hope within a church, what would you say to those individuals who are listening who says, you know, I don't even go to church. I don't even know who God is. How am I going to even survive? How will I overcome? What would you say to them?
I appreciate that as such
a child.
That is such a good question. I really appreciate that because I think it's so important that people know it's not about church. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship with the God of this universe, our Jesus, who loves you. And that can start right where you're at. That can start right now if you have a needle in your hand. That can start right now if you're sitting in a prison. It can start right now if you're sitting in a church pew, or it can start right now if you're laying in your bed crying. It can start right now. You look up to him and say, I don't know this Jesus that she's talking about. I don't know about this hope she's talking about, but I know I wish I could feel what she felt. And I wish, God, if you're there, that you would come into my heart right now. I know I have failed you. I know I have sinned. I want you to forgive me. And I choose you, Jesus. I want you to take my life. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to get to know you. And I want you to know your heart. And I want to walk in a new walk with you. And it starts right there. And from that moment on, I promise them, if they do that with their whole heart, everything will change. God will lead them to a church where they can grow spiritually and grow in that relationship. I always tell people that your church should support your relationship with God, not be your relationship with God.
That's right. That's right. And also, another thing is the church starts within your heart, and you can take that
Yes. Yes, because that's your relationship. So many people go to church and they have a religion, but they do not have a relationship with Jesus. And that's why they keep stumbling. And then you put all your junk under the rug, and if you sweep enough dirt under your carpet at the house, your house might look clean, but you're going to start tripping over your carpet. And people are tripping over their carpet of life because they have so much junk under their carpet that they need to let God clean it all out and make them whole.
Amen. That's good. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you've been involved in some Christian radio business and you've spoken to college students. What will be your most memorable topic that you spoke on and why?
Probably my most memorable topic is always the victim to victor that we had talked about earlier, because I have talked to girls in prison that don't even realize they've been a victim. I have talked to people who want to stay in the victim stage because that's all they've known. I really believe that regardless if you're talking at a college or you're talking on the radio or if you're talking at a church function, if people can realize that they can go from victim to survivor to overcomer to conqueror to victor, that they can enter into a new life. The alternative for that is to stay the victim, and you may survive it, the third leading cause of death in young people is suicide. And if that happens, you will become a revenger, a retaliator, and an abuser. Maybe not to others, maybe to others, but definitely to yourself. Because this stuff doesn't just go away. You have got to deal, to heal, to feel. And it's not a microwave journey. It is a journey. It is a healing journey. And it's a step-by-step thing. And as you take one step in front of another step in front of another step, more and more you heal, and more you get the victory, and more you get the joy. There's nothing like living in the joy. I always say to people, you got to get enough of God to make you happy and not just enough to make you miserable. There is enough of him to make you happy, I promise you.
That's right. You're exactly right. Now, is there anything else you would like to share that has not been shared yet?
I always try to tell the girls of prison and everywhere I go that you matter. I think we live in a society that has come up with cliches, and the cliches that we use in our society make my heart so sad. We say to people, get a life. We say to people, get over it. We say to people, what's your problem? And we need to know that you do matter. It doesn't matter if people say, get over it. Well, how do they get over it if they're still under it? They need to know that they matter to God, that they matter to others, and that they're loved, that they are worthwhile, that they are not valueless, that what has happened to them in their life doesn't define who they are. And the choices they've made in their life, that doesn't define who they are. And that God can take something of your life and he can make it beautiful. Something beautiful, something good is one of my favorite songs. It says, all my confusions he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life. I'd like people to know that.
It's great. Everyone matters. That's good. That is good. Now, how can individuals contact you or purchase your book, Shattering, your novel, Shattering, actually?
Well, there's several ways. I really would encourage anyone who, if I can help in any way, you can contact me on my website. My website is Marsha, M-A-R-S-H-A. Barth, B-A-R-T-H, dot, Tate, T-A-T-E, author, A-U-T-H-O-R, .com. And if that's too hard to remember, if they just Google Marsha, M-A-R-S-H-A, Barth, B-A-R-T-H, everything will come up. My book will come up. My website will come up. There's about 4 pages that actually come up, interviews I've done. You can click any one of them. It'll take you right to my website. You can purchase the book from my website. If you're not into doing that, Amazon.com, it's listed there. It's listed on Barnes & Noble's. You can order it pretty much from any bookstore. Probably one of the easiest ways, though, is to just go to my website. And you can read my blogs, you can listen to the interviews, and you can just push on any of the pages. You can buy the book from any of them. There's also a contact page there. Please feel free to email me or contact me if there's anything I can do to help you, or if anyone wants to have me for speaking or anything like that, they can contact me through my website at any time. But again, if they just Google Marsha, M-A-R-S-H-A, Barth, B-A-R-T-H, they should be able to get hold of me at any time.
Okay. Well, Ms. Barth, I really appreciate you taking out your busy schedule to come on the Love, Live, Jesus ministry. And anytime that you want to come back to speak about anything concerning ministry or what you have going on, feel free to do so.
I really appreciate that. Thank you for the opportunity. And, boy, may God bless you with your labor of love, too, Alfreda. I just think it's a wonderful thing you're doing. And thank you so much for the opportunity. And for everyone listening, please know that God loves you and that he has more for you. And you be blessed. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Miss Marsha Barth. And as she said, the words that we speak, those particular words has a lot of power. So we have to be very careful of the words we speak. And we don't want to only survive, but we want to overcome and we want to be victors. So I really want you to think about that. Any type of storms that you've gone through, any type of storms that we've been through, don't just think about how you survived those storms. As she said before, there's another process, overcoming it. As I said before on my Facebook page, I said, we're still singing We Shall Overcome, which is a great song. I love that song. But what are we overcoming? We must identify what we're overcoming, because if we continue to sing a song and we're not making progress, then we are regressing. So we need to make sure that we are overcoming those things, those storms that we survived. Okay, so be sure to connect with Ms. Marsha Barth and check out her book, The Shattering. It's very motivational, and it's a great read. All right, ladies and gentlemen, before I go into the announcements, I would like to just say that we serve an awesome God, and everyone is aware of that. And as we said in this particular segment, if you do not have a relationship with God, if you don't know God, it could start right where you are, because the church actually starts in your heart. You can go to church every Sunday and have religion but not have a relationship with God. And it's very important that we evaluate ourselves. We look at the me and we evaluate ourselves to make sure that we have a relationship with God first. And then that way we can identify our religion, okay? Relationship is more important than religion, because relationship starts in the heart, and you can take the church anywhere, all right? So if you don't know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you can pray unto God now. Say, Lord, I need to know who you are. I need to know the Lord that they're talking about on the Love of Jesus ministry, or whichever ministry you listen to. Because the time is now, ladies and gentlemen. It does not matter how old you are. It does not matter what you've done. The Lord is calling the roll. The Lord is constantly calling people every day. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how rich you are, how poor you are. It doesn't matter. God is calling people, because our days are numbered, and we're only here a few days. And so, therefore, we must make sure that we have a relationship with God, because when we see his face, when we transition, we want him to say, well done. So I want you to listen to this song, and then I'm going to go into our announcements. This song is He Is Faithful by Miss Karen Shoel.
Jesus, I love you so much. You've been so faithful to me. In my moments of fear, through every pain, every tear, there's a God who's been faithful to me. When my strength was all gone, when my heart had no song, still in love, he's proved faithful to me. Every word he's promised is true. What I thought those many times I could not pray. Still in love, he's proved faithful to me. Those days I spent so selfishly, reaching out for what pleased me. Still in love, he's proved faithful to me. But every time I come back to him, he is waiting with his arms open, and I see
gentlemen, that is He is Faithful by Miss Karen Shoel. I have a few announcements to make. First of all, I'd like to thank God, my family, and friends for listening to the Love of Jesus ministry today. And without further ado, I would like to say, please, please continue to encourage your family and friends to log on to blogtalkradio.com/freedalove. That's blogtalkradio.com/FREDALOVE. Gospel artists, artists, promoters, publishers, writers, actors, actresses, community leaders, positive community leaders, radio hosts, TV hosts, anyone that's affiliated with gospel music, anyone that is affiliated with youth community outreach programs, please, please connect with Alfreda Love. That's Alfreda Love, and this is Facebook, or Alfreda Love. Or you can email me at emonya_love@yahoo.com. I would love, love, love to have you on the Love Lift Jesus ministry, where Jesus shines with love. In addition to that, just understand and recognize that the first Saturday in June 2015, God's will, we will have the Save Our Youth program, also entitled Built to Last Conference in Waco, Texas. I invite each and every one of you out if you're in the Central Texas area, or if you're out of town and you intend on coming to the Central Texas area. I'm going to really get busy on this particular program this upcoming week. When I have a few days off, hey, man, get to sleep in later. And so I really want you guys to understand what the conference is about. In addition to that, as I said before, and a lot of you know, I mentioned probably in March that I was going to conduct a webinar, and the Lord finally gave me a vision of the topics that I need to speak about, and I will speak tonight about love. And before we can give you a brief synopsis, and you're going to see me in person, actually. But before we can even talk about nonviolence, before we can even save our youth, before we can even become united as one, our culture, and I'm speaking about all cultures, but the culture of people, especially the African-American people, and I'm just going to be truthful about it, we need to come together in love. We not only need to love ourselves and the people, but we need to love other cultures as well. Now, the whole makeup of this culture of love is not the majority. But as a culture as a whole, we look at the culture of people and the numbers of murders, black-on-black crime, when we look at the different ills, when we look at the family dynamics, when we look at the things that are going on within different communities and families, we find that love is missing. And God says that before we can even talk about nonviolence, before we can even talk about our youth, he says, you have to bring awareness of love. And this same love that you're hearing on this on my channel starting tonight is the same love we're going to talk about at the conference. Not only are we missing the love of God, for God, and the relationships, we had a religion down as a culture. And I'm being honest, we have the religion down. But now we need to have a relationship with God. We have to have love, the love of God, okay? So the Lord is going to give me what to say on tonight, and you're going to see me live and in person. It's no more, you know, when I'm on this particular ministry, you can hear my voice, which that's the only important thing that you need to understand. You see, but God is preparing us, as I said before. God says you get in front and you speak about what you know I've told you to say. So I have to be obedient unto God. But at the same time, this is unscripted. This is from God. It's not a sermon, but it's a conference. It's a baby conference. And whatever God tells me to say, I'm going to say it. And it's the truth. And it deals with cultures. And with the African-American culture, we're going to really focus on love. I'm going to be very honest, because that's what God put on my heart. He says love. And we have to start supporting each other and stop putting down each other and stop, you know, we're going to talk about that word hate. You know, there's a saying within the culture, you're hating on me. It's not about that. But we're going to have to start supporting one another. And we're talking about families. We're talking about communities. We're talking about other races. We're going to have to start supporting. And so I couldn't tell you the whole gist of this presentation, and it's going to be, you might as well call it a lecture, but it's going to get interesting as time goes on and as God continues to prepare me, okay? And so I don't have a problem speaking, you know, or speaking to a group of people, but I'm getting a feel kind of what God wants, just like I did the radio, getting a feel of the topics, and God says he's going to increase it from there. And so that's what I'm doing today. I'm getting a feel, but I'm taking this as if I was on stage in front of people. I'm not even going to put a number to it. Okay? So this topic of love is very important. And if you don't want to hear the truth, please don't listen to the recording, because I'm going to post it everywhere on my Facebook page, social media sites. It's the truth. And it's from a perspective of what I see. I travel many different places. It's from the perspective of what the numbers, the data is saying. It's from a perspective of what interviews I've conducted with people. It's from the perspective of just everyday experiences. Okay? And so we're going to talk about this, and I'm going to try. I want to be realistic. I'm going to try to be on, I say TV, on my webinar at least once a week, because I need to really ignite the fire for this conference. Okay? So that's what I want to say about that. Moving right along, please continue to pray for at least 270 individuals. If you have to pray for all of your family members, put them all in one line and pray for them one by one, and do not forget to pray for yourself. In addition to that, make sure that you're being healthy, you're eating healthy, you're doing something with exercise, you're maintaining a healthy lifestyle. Make sure that you watch what you put in your body. Also, In addition to that, make sure you continue to just listen to the Love Live Jesus Ministry. I'm also on LinkedIn. I'm on Instagram under Africa Love. So you can connect with me. I love connecting with people who love God as much as I do. I love people, period. And so tonight, as I said before, is my first debut. And I'm going to say on television, yes, on television, in my home. So I want to make sure that you tune in and listen, because I'm going to. It's not going to be live. I'm going to actually record it, and then I'm going to put it on my different pages, and it'll probably be late tonight. So I want to get into the very presence of God. I'm going to pray before I even come on air, and I'm going to allow the Lord to just use me in a mighty way, because this is a topic that God says is going to really break the walls, and it's going to bring an awareness. People do not like to tackle the problem of love. You know, Dr. Martin Luther King was all about love and about equal rights, you know, but we have digressed, because since the death of Dr. Martin Luther King, we've just turned cold, some of us. That's what God is showing. You know, Dr. King was at his job every day. He was constantly working around the clock, you know, promoting love. And I'm going to download one of his videos when I come back. I'm going to download one of his videos. And most of the things that Dr. Martin Luther King did was because of love. When he marched, he was marching for our rights because he loved us. He loved his people, you know. And so everything that the late Dr. King did was through love. And so if we can teach people how to bring that same love back from the 1950s and 1960s, then we can infiltrate a generation that will not continue to kill each other. Ladies and gentlemen, we have black-on-black crime. When people join organizations, there's still cliques. There's still chaos within organizations, people not liking people. You know, when we go out, when people are having events, you know, some people, when they have events, then we don't support our people. And when I say our people, I'm not only talking about the African-American culture. I'm talking about other people as well who's trying to do something to help make a difference. You know, we just don't do it. And to be honest with you, I never understood a culture who couldn't love one another. I never understood the fact of when we talk about different families from all cultures, you haven't spoken to your parents in years. We have to break those barriers. There is nothing that bad that God can't fix, whatever it is. I don't understand. There's some things in culture that I don't understand, because it shouldn't even exist. And because these things exist, we have the black-on-black crime. Because some barriers exist, we have people not speaking to their family members, their parents, for years. Because things exist, we have what people call black sheep of the family. Because they're different, or they have different thoughts, or because they get in trouble, that's still your family member. I don't understand. So we have to understand what love is, first of all. And love is not, when we talk about youth, love is not giving them things and substituting things for love. God says that nothing can be substituted for love, because God is love, and because God is love, there is nothing greater than God. But we want to do that. And so I don't want to spoil what God is going to give me tonight, but I want to tell you that we have to base everything on love. That's the whole point. Love. Right? Support people. Help people. You know, and I'm going to say this, and I was talking to a friend today. I said, you know, in organizations, any organization that I have, whether it's my blog, whether it's my book club, whatever it is, I want people to feel comfortable. I don't allow cliques in an organization. It doesn't matter what it is. If you're in that organization, everyone works together in love. Now, there are some people that you have a better relationship with. But all in all, when people come to my organizations, when they come to my events, they don't feel awkward. Because when I come to your events, when I come to join your organizations, I want to feel comfortable. So I make sure that that same feel that I feel, I want people to feel when they come to mine. And the matter is that doesn't always happen. There are no big eyes, there are no little U's, you know. It's just not. And so I, you know, when I was younger, or when I was in college, I didn't join sororities and organizations because, first of all, I wanted to be unique. Second of all, I wanted it to be a community that everyone worked together and there wasn't divisions and chaos. And that was just a perception. But now that I'm older, okay, I see, oh, okay, there are some organizations which are good. So we're going to talk about love, and we're going to talk about what we can do to help the community, period. Okay? It's not going to be all just talk about data and numbers and statistics. We know that. We know it's black-on-black crime. We know that there's things in organizations, chaos in some organizations. We know all that. But we're going to listen to God tonight, okay? So stay tuned on my Facebook page. I'm going to post it sometime. It may be 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't know because I don't have to go to school Monday. No, it's but, you know, once I get comfortable, and when I say comfortable, once I get kind of familiar with what I'm going to be doing as far as what God has asked me to do, then I'm going to make some things funny, and we're going to have a good time. Yeah, well, we're going to learn, and we're going to – but tonight, you know, just kind of expect lecture, okay? So I thank you so much for tuning in to the Love, Live, Jesus Ministry. Be sure to connect with me. I love to meet people, especially people of God, people – and even if you don't know God, I still want to meet you. You know, as I said before, I love people, so connect with me on Facebook. Connect with me on Instagram. I use that a lot. So just connect with me, okay? And my email is emonya_love@yahoo.com. And I love, love, love to meet people. So without further ado, join me on tomorrow on the Love, Live, Jesus Ministry where Jesus shines with love. If someone asks you what that big, beautiful smile is all about, you tell them that love lifted you up because God is love. Until next time, which is tomorrow, take care of yourselves and each other. And be sure, I know that we out for 2 weeks, but be sure. Be sure to go to church tomorrow. Thank God that you made it this far. The year is almost over. Don't wait till Christmas to go to church. Go to church tomorrow. Get that relationship with God, and then we'll talk about religion. Goodbye, everybody.
Oh, yeah. You have been tuned in to the finest talk show ministry on the internet. The Love Lift Up Jesus Ministry. Featuring your host, Dr. Elfrida Love, reminding you to be diligent in your prayer as you pray for someone this week. We say goodbye as we depart from the airwaves, but reminding you that we never, ever depart from the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is His Word. And on that, you can depend. Always remember that Jesus Christ has your back. And there ain't nothing the devil can do about it. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Jesus.